Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 181 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap this week's nerd news. We're going to begin with our spoiler-free review of Dune, and then discuss some upcoming Marvel movies, a mishap on a movie set, and then move over to some tech news where we'll discuss several nefarious activities by China, Russia, and then a little bit of space news. Lots to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and we are here with episode 181. And I saw my first movie in the theater. I went to the theater for the first time since pre-COVID. I think since like Endgame.
No, didn't you see a movie? Because I was shocked that you saw it. Like we did a podcast not too long ago, and I was like, I went and saw a movie. Didn't you see?
Not in the theater. I paid for something on HBO Max that you were surprised because I at least shelled out the subscription.
Okay, maybe. I guess I'm wrong.
But yeah, so saw Dune, and before I got to see it, you saw it Thursday night. I saw it Friday night. Before I got to see it, I knew that you liked the movie.
Yeah, I
simply because you actually wrote something. Yeah. Like, I didn't read the review before I saw the movie because I just figured there's no point. I'm going to go see it. I don't need your opinion before I go see it. I've already made my decision. But yeah, the fact that you actually wrote something for the first time
partly that's because Dune was so long, it kind of fucked me on a Thursday night showing. Usually I don't go till like 9 o'clock after my kids go to bed. And then by the time I get home at like midnight, 1 in the morning, it's really hard to write the review. And then as the days go by, it's like that show, The First 48. If I don't write in The First 48, I'm probably ain't gonna write that motherfucker. I'm gonna be honest with y'all right now. If I don't get it out in that first 48 hours, sorry about it. But yeah, I had to go see this one at like 6:45. That was the only IMAX showing on Thursday. It was 6:45. So I was like, all right. Fuck them kids. I'm going to a movie. And I got home at like, yeah, by like 10:30. And I just really, after being so impressed with how well that movie was done, I was like, yeah, I gotta write everything down while I still have it in my head. And it was, I didn't know exactly what my expectations were. I knew it was going to be a good movie. Like I started reading the book, but I didn't get too far into it. So I didn't really have any preconceived notions on what to expect. And I was just so like shocked with like how well it was balanced as with drama and story and action. And like, I don't think they could have made a better movie. I really don't.
Yeah, no, it was phenomenal, and the sets, scenes that they put together, and just the acting. And I have read the book a couple times. I recently reread it, and like the things that they kind of skip through or kind of brush over aren't essential. But I still think they did a pretty good job of balancing the things that you lose oftentimes in the book. Like you lose some of the details of like who the Bene Gesserit are and stuff like. But in the end, like they cover most of like the religious mystical aspects of what's going on. Yeah,
some religious tribe that's been puppeting society for millennia, and like I got it.
Yeah,
they cover
a lot. They get into the mystical elements. They you know kind of brush through what is spice, why it's important, but they don't waste a lot of time on these things because realistically it's a character driven story, and it's the development of these characters.
I lived through the Gulf War. I know what it's about. We're trying to get that fuel, son. Like, this is Desert Storm in outer space, bro. Like, this is what that's about.
But yeah, without giving up, you know, big spoilers or anything else for the movie, but it is just absolute great acting.
Yeah, I thought Oscar Isaac was phenomenal in it. Like everybody, like even Jason Momoa. I can't say even nothing bad about that dude. With his is just corny as his roles can be and everything, they like sprinkled him in there just enough, like before you were just like, all right, DeBro, yeah, like calm down a little bit. Like no, they they just dashed him in there with the perfect amount of Momoa. You know, same thing with Batista.
Except they threw in beardless Momoa, and that just it just looks weird to me.
But I appreciate that because I don't like. I think that's what helped it even. Because now it's not Aquaman. It's not, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he's not the brooding hunk. Like, no, he's a well-dressed military man at when he needs to be.
Yeah, when you see him, you're like, look at this dude.
But no, there's nothing bad for me to say about it. I don't know, if everybody knew this was a part one. You know, there's a lot.
Oh, probably a few people left mad.
They kept that pretty under wraps. Like, I heard... Like Audible, title, I did too, but I don't. It wasn't advertised that way, right? Like it was never advertised as Dune Part One or whatever else. So, and they never announced that they were committed to a second movie. So then, when the title screen came up in the first 2 minutes, and it said Dune, and then it slowly faded in Part One. Like I heard people in the audience say, "Part One."
Well, you are staying out in Oklahoma right now, so yeah. I don't know if that speaks to your audience level or to the advertisement of the movie, because I knew like it's been said, like if you were waiting for this movie for the year that it was delayed, like I think everybody forgets that like this movie was supposed to come out,
it was ready a while
last
ago.
Year like last year this time we waited an entire fucking year extra for this fucking movie. So like in the pre-filming, while they were filming, and the year delay of all the PR and people talking about this, you still didn't know it was a part one. You weren't really like you just went to see it, like, and so I really don't feel bad for you. But honestly, like with the almost 3 hour runtime, with how well it was done, I would have sat for another 3 hours. Like, give me roll part twos, binge it. I'm here to binge it. Like, I was comfortable.
The theaters weren't going to let you sit there for another 3 hours. An usher would have came in, kicked you out, made you buy another ticket.
Man, now I'm an A-list member. I'll sit there as many times as I want, motherfucker. I pay that money. I'll stay in that theater. They ain't saying shit to me.
But I mean, ultimately, I think did fairly well box office wise. You know, COVID box office numbers. It also still had the HBO Max streaming at the same time, which, to much chagrin from Dennis Villeneuve, in the end, it's really looked at as like a major success. I think critically, I haven't looked at Rotten Tomatoes scores, whatever else. But if anybody is saying this movie was bad, then
they have no opinion
worth listening to.
It's, why are you hanging out with this person? Reevaluate your life. Yeah, I don't. I mean, we've had posts about it and people commenting without spoilers in the group, and there's not a person that has anything bad to say about this movie. Like it was just so well done. Like I'm gonna watch it at home again on HBO Max. That's the only benefit of it being on HBO Max, is that like someone like me who still will go to the theater to see it, I can watch it again at home. Like, I'm not going to go to theater twice, but I'll watch a movie again, but yeah. I really think that this was one that they shouldn't have put on streaming. Like people were going to go see it. Like, I think there's a large percentage of people that watched it at home that would have got off their ass and went to theater to see it.
Yeah, for sure. But,
I mean, because you can't tell me Venom is a better fucking movie.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't tell me that this wouldn't have killed Venom numbers.
Yeah, absolutely. The HBO Max subscription-based, it has hurt the movie's box office numbers. But it's definitely helped HBO Max. In the end, Warner Brothers is happy. Dennis Villeneuve is not. But we also get confirmation this week that Part 2 is happening. I don't think there was any question that it wasn't.
Well, I think that, like, a lot of people don't know. Like, yeah, they didn't green light Part 2 yet. Like, I thought for sure this was something they would have filmed all at once.
I really thought so too, but I guess not. So we're looking at October 2023. For the next iteration.
Which is so shitty, because they could have been filming this next one during that COVID time. All during that goddamn COVID delay, they could have been fucking filming this next one. We should have this shit at the end of 2022.
They spent half their time in this movie in masks anyway.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, whatever. I will wait my 2 years. I will gladly go see it 2 years from now.
It's still shitty, though. It's still shitty because who at fucking, you know, what is this, Warner Brothers HBO? Yeah, who at Warner Brothers watched like the cut of this when it was done and in this thought, year like, delay, no, we'll it was wait. Like, yeah, like, I don't know if this is going to do well. Like, I don't know if the million people tweeting about this and the quality of the movie I just watched garnishes me greenlighting to part two. Like, you dipshit. Yeah. Like, we should already have a trailer for part two by now.
We should, but we don't. In the end, hey, if you haven't seen this, if you're listening to this, you haven't seen the movie, go do it. Even if you have to do it on HBO Max, I strongly urge that before it's out of the IMAX, before like Eternals gets here and steals all the IMAX screens, go see Dune.
It needs a theater view because it's just epic. The cinematography is so phenomenal. You really want to soak it all in.
But if you need to go see it on HBO Max, go watch on HBO Max. But definitely watch and appreciate this movie, and then walk away.
At least go to a friend's house with the biggest TV that you know.
All I know is from this point on, I'm at the grocery store telling little kids, "Goodbye, young human. I hope you live." Like that is now how I tell everybody goodbye who's younger than me. Pass the test, child. All right, let's move on. We got some more movie news. We've got, you know, you talked about Venom already and the big success that Venom was. It did pretty well in the box office, especially COVID time frame. It did as well as Sony was hoping. They've confirmed that there's going to be two more Marvel-Sony collaborations, right? We don't know what they are. You know, there was already an announcement that Kraven the Hunter was going to happen in 2023, and now they've also announced two other Marvel collaborative Sony productions in 2023. So June, so we're going to have January, Kraven the Hunter, and then unannounced projects in June and October. So Marvel and Sony still playing well together, I guess.
Obviously, like, I'm going to say it because I don't give a shit. It's been long enough. Like, at the end credits, they show, you know, Venom going into the MCU. So they're going to do like an MCU tie-in movie, but it's probably going to have to be through Sony. Either way, like, you know, that's what's going on. Now that the fact that's been out there and this is a known thing, now they're like, all right, y'all, yeah, we're going to make some more of these movies with Marvel and it's going to be all good.
Yeah. And yeah, that's, I think it, either way, it's a good sign for all the Spider-Man fans out there and stuff like that are worried about whether that whole system was going to blow up in Phase 5 or whatever for Marvel. Yeah, no, if Spider-Man
credits,
was going to disappear,
credits,
he's not going away.
Everybody know that it ain't going nowhere. Like, yeah, we're just getting it ramped up. We want that. We want that MCU money, son.
So at least Sony came around. And then to wrap up some movie news. Actually, we got two movie stories left, but this one, it's, you know, there's a lot of stories going around about Alec Baldwin being involved in a deadly discharge of a weapon on set. And the initial reports seemed really kind of sketchy on what happened. As the more and more details came out, you can kind of see what kind of transpired and who really failed to do their jobs. And in the end, the gist of it is while preparing for a scene, Alec Baldwin was working with the director of photography to discuss how he was going to draw his weapon out of the holster and act out the scene, which required him to pretty much like point the weapon at the camera. And while he was doing this and demonstrating how he was going to do the scene, working with the director of photography, the weapon he was handed was supposed to have been a dummy weapon, not loaded with anything. It turned out to be a live weapon with live ammunition. And he shot and killed the director of photography.
And there's just a lot of fishy stuff that goes with this. They actually covered this yesterday, I think, on the podcast I listened to, Breaking Points, the news podcast. And the details that they were talking about on there were just, you know, about numerous safety violations. People ended up quitting on set because they thought it was a dangerous set. The fact that the armorist didn't hand Baldwin the gun, that a producer just handed him a gun and said, "Cold gun."
The article I read said that it's actually supposed to be a two-person step, that the armorist is supposed to clear the weapons and make sure they're doing the right ones, and then it's supposed to go through somebody else's hand. The assistant director is supposed to verify that the weapon is and then hand it over. And the assistant director is the one who physically handed the weapon over to Alec Baldwin and didn't verify. So it sounds like both the armorer and the assistant director, like by their policies, like that assistant director has now since been fired. And that assistant director also in 2019 had somebody injured on set with a weapons discharge from mishandling a weapon from that assistant director before. So this person's had now multiple weapons discharge under
his specific supervision. How is that a thing? Like, you accidentally got someone shot once and like you proceed to one, overstep your bounds and do a job that really you don't have to do, and two, fuck it up again.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't understand how this is even a thing. Like, one, what the fuck does live ammunition have to do with
honestly, what I just can't wrap my head around is what are they using live ammo for? Like, we're making fucking monsters out of nothing and stuff like that. You're telling me that you actually need to put a bullet through something on set to actually get what you want out of it? Like, even if you just need like recoil of a weapon, like there's at a minimum, there's ways to simulate
well,
that.
Well, and that's why a lot of this is fishy too, they said. It's because prop guns aren't even supposed to be able to fire live ammo. So there's a lot of thought that it's not even a prop gun, that it was a real gun, because these prop guns...
Oh, 100% it was a real gun.
You know, well, they're still calling it prop gun, like, because it was a prop, but it was a real gun.
I was gonna say, it is a prop.
Like,
but
it's semantics. But when you hear, like, in a lot of these articles that are trying to make light of it, when you see prop gun, you think of it as like, oh, it was a fake gun, so it was like something that fucked up, like, you know, shrapnel from a bad blank or something. But it was like, nah, man, like, this dude just had a loaded fucking gun in his goddamn hand. And like, I own a gun. Like, anytime you handle a gun, you check the chamber, you check, like there's a whole,
obviously that's what like the actors and the actors union, like, there should be an expectation. If a gun is handed to you, you should always know the status of that gun. It's nobody else's job but yours. And that needs that level of like accountability and ownership of those weapons. It's needs like to be basic, kind of a standard across the industry.
It's basic gun 101. Like,
yeah, you assume every weapon's loaded until you verify it's not.
And you don't have to be into guns. Like, you know, I'm assuming with his record of tweets and things, he's a liberal, and, you know, so he might be even anti-gun, but you, like, you're in a profession where you obviously have to hold one. Like, I just don't understand how there's not, like, they have safety meetings. You know, I've been on movie sets. They have, like, these things where, like, they go over stuff, what's going on in the film and everything. Like, how is there not a, like, oh, yeah, we got guns in this movie, here's how you handle a gun, here's, you know, like, I don't get how this even happens, you know what I mean? Like, forget,
I really don't either. It just ultimately it's just really comes down to the failure of people whose jobs are specific, like, your job is specifically this safety and weapons handling.
There are people on set where this is their only thing that they are supposed to do, you know what I mean? So, like, unless you're at a point where the gun needs the live ammo, like, so say you're shooting a movie with live ammo, like, until that exact scene and that exact point is going, that, you know what I mean, that live ammo is never even chambered into a gun, you know, and as soon as that scene's over, there's a person, you know, it should be, you grab that gun, you discharge it, and then it goes back on, like, it makes it seem like there's just loaded guns laying on tables on these movie sets.
That's absolutely what this was. So yes, apparently so. It's absolutely wild. It's unfortunate for, you know, this family who kind of has to live with this just incompetence as the loss of, you know, a mother and a wife and everything else. It's absolutely a ridiculous circumstance. Like, Alec Baldwin, I'm sure he feels terrible. In this instance, like, I still think you were handed a weapon. You should know what's in that weapon. But, you know, that's not
his job. Know, my question is like, if this was three TikTokers filming a TikTok and the guy accidentally, you know, shot the two people filming their TikTok, what charges does that dude get charged with? And how is the movie set any different?
I mean, I don't know the legality of it. Somebody should get charged with like criminal negligence somewhere along the way. But I don't know if that falls on Alec Baldwin. Who the hell knows? I'm sure it's not going to fall on Alec. What I can say is it's not going to fall on him.
Teflon Don. You know, but like there's somebody in that chain, like somebody he holds responsibility. And if it wasn't a big Hollywood thing, would just regular people be treated like this? Like, you know, there's people that go to jail for horrific accidents all the time. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a case to be made that somebody's at fault, and whether that ends up being, you know, some kind of criminal charge, that's probably on the table. But either way, let's move on from the story. Let's talk about our last bit in entertainment and movie news here. We've got that
part of our Fuck China. Part of our fuck China.
China, it's an early one because we don't talk about China and entertainment too often. But China is having a box office breaking movie about defeating the United States. And apparently this is like a series of recent films that they've been coming up with, which are like very propaganda-ish in the sense of really talking about like the might of the Chinese military and the ability to defend their homeland and to defend their allies. So this movie is defeating a previous movie that came out a couple years ago that was of Chinese military defeating invaders and stuff like that. So this one specifically is a historical piece highlighting the defeat of the United States at the Chosin River in the Korean in North Korea during the Korean War.
You know, I can't hate on it. I really, you know, surprisingly, I can't hate on it. I mean, we've done the same thing in Hollywood for decades. Khal Drogo, right in the middle of a Cold War, we just happen to come out with a Rocky movie where the dude in American flag shorts beats the shit out of a giant Russian.
Yeah, we got Top Gun, and then during the Cold War era.
And even so, like, man. You imagine being a German dude in an Indiana Jones movie. How good you feel by yourself? We do it all the time as Americans. We pick our enemies and make it, you know, the typical bad guy for these random stories. And nobody thinks of it as like propaganda and stuff. And a lot of it was, you know, undoubtedly it was. So
yeah.
I can't blame the U.S. being the bad guy in other people's movies. Because you know what? We make a good bad guy. We do.
We do.
Like, admittedly, we make a pretty good bad guy.
In the honest truth, I could give a history lesson right now on
the Korean War.
And the approaching...
Are we switching over to History Pod for 10 minutes?
The crossing of the Yalu River and that antagonizing the Chinese to come and defend North Korea as we approached the Chinese border well further north than we ever should have gone. And you know, even like the articles I read are very like American-centric, talking about how it's full of, you know, misinformation, and it's not telling the story, and they're making it seem like they defeated the United States.
Oh, yeah, you know, American historians is just going to be like, we fucked up.
And China absolutely defeated the United States. Now, on a numbers standpoint, like in the Chosin Reservoir, like we lost a lot of people, like 15,000 people, and they lost almost like 100,000 troops, the Chinese did. And they were just throwing people that were not prepared to survive. They were just freezing to death their own people to continue pushing us. But ultimately, like, they won. Like, the 38th parallel exists between North and South Korea because we got pushed back by the Chinese, right? Like, they actually did win. A United States ally is not at their border because they won, because they pushed us back and forced a stalemate at the 38th parallel. So from a Chinese historical perspective, yeah, you guys lost a ton of people and it cost you a ton. They kind of won.
I mean, there's no difference. That instance. Look at the beach of Normandy. Like that's how shit went. We threw a bunch of young kids out to France and fucking just let them get slaughtered on a beach until they finally killed a handful of Germans still enough to where we could fucking dock. But that was war. That was how we did it. You know, and the Chinese, they held their spot. And if they want to make a movie, like, you can't, you know, we got Bridge Over the River Kwai. We got, like, we be making movies about our shit all the time. Like, I cannot hate on China right now. I can't do it.
If I could get a copy of this movie dubbed, I would watch it just out of just pure historical curiosity.
It's the internet, bro. It's the internet.
I know. I got to find it. I do need to find it.
Put the minimalist effort into it. I'm sure you
can find
it.
I just don't want to get flagged as like a communist sympathizer. Like, I'm really worried about that at this point in time. But all right, we could get out of my history lesson. You know, follow my history podcast if you want to learn more.
Yeah, subscribe. Hit subscribe.
But yeah, let's move out of entertainment. We'll transition into some tech here. And the first one, it's really kind of a video game NFT stuff. We've talked a lot about NFTs and crypto
still
lately.
Movies,
it's because I'm
movies.
Fascinated by NFTs, and I've been bit by the compulsion to.
Ken likes expensive JPEGs.
Absolutely. My children may never go to college, but they're going to have lots of JPEGs. Yeah. In the end, what we see is, was it Daylight? Dead by Daylight video game. They've got a Pinhead version, and they've now made an NFT out of Pinhead. And yeah, some people really aren't very happy about it, about using Pinhead, about turning that into an NFT. In the end, there's going to be 10,000 of them, and they come with some other, you know, unique aspects as far as how it's going to tie into potentially the game or downstream NFTs. But it really comes into, you know, using kind of intellectual property within NFTs. And who owns that intellectual property? It's actually coming under debate in several different NFT projects, and it's just an interesting concept.
I think it's a genius idea to get people into the game and into like what you're doing. I said there's going to come a point where certain like Fortnite skins are going to be NFTs, and like you're going to see somebody wearing that skin. And you're going to be like, damn, he's got that blah, blah, blah. And then if he wants to, he can sell that skin to some other Fortnite player when he's done using it for whatever. And fucking Epic will get a chunk of that fucking money. And yeah. And people just be swapping Fortnite skins left and right as NFTs. Like, I think this is the future of gaming.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be big in gaming, which is why we talked about last week the fact that Steam announced that anything that has to do with the blockchain is banned out of all the Steam servers. So
yeah, you're an idiot.
Yeah, so all the games in Steam cannot actually use NFT skins, cannot use NFT and Epic said, come on over, we'll take any NFT game, like we're fine. So it's going to be a continuous battle here on how they're going to integrate NFTs. And like I talked about, the use of kind of, you know, again, the intellectual properties and the likeness, it comes down to who owns these things and how to make them use. I saw an NFT project that uses a bunch of like 3D renderings and special like paintings of stormtrooper helmets and it's because like some lawsuit won against George Lucas years ago that said like the stormtrooper helmet intellectual property was actually owned by the person who designed it and not George Lucas in Star Wars. And then that person like turned over the stormtrooper helmet just non-copyrighted. So now people could do whatever the hell they want with stormtrooper helmets. So they can make NFTs, they could do whatever they want. Like, it's really an interesting space on what people are doing, where they're kind of skirting the lines on intellectual property in order to mint these NFTs. And then my question is even if they did mint one that violated intellectual property, and let's say it mints, you don't see these things until it's revealed. Well, the ownership then is on the person, yeah. Right? So yeah. Like, I own it. The people who made it, it doesn't even matter. They don't own that right anymore. So who does Disney come after, right? If all of a sudden I get revealed a Mickey Mouse somewhere.
Because it's on the blockchain, though, they can follow the transaction.
Oh, they can
will
find me.
And they will come get that money.
I know it's an interesting concept though. As far as I don't know how that's going to play out. I'm sure it's going to happen sooner than later. There's going to be massive violations of intellectual property spread around, and it's going to come down to who owns it, who gets that cease and desist letter, who actually is the one that has to fight the copyright issues.
No, for sure.
So. All right, let's move out of that story. We can talk over some more fuck China. We've got a couple now actual tech stories about China, and we get the first one is that the U.S. had to come out and warn against efforts by China to collect as much genetic data as possible. So this is coming from the United States government that is recognizing that Russia, China, everybody, including probably the U.S., is trying to gather as much biometric and genetic data from any sample that they can get their hands on and just store that in databases for future vaccine development, genetic cures or whatever they can. The bigger the sample sizes you have of genetic mapping, the more you can do with it. And they're recognizing that China and kind of the economic strength that they have, they're leading the way and they're getting their hands on absolutely everything that they can kind of muster up this at this point.
Hey man, this is fucked up on so many levels, especially after a year we have a arguably man-made virus come out of Wuhan. They want everybody's fucking DNA. I don't know if anybody's seen the recent Bond movie, but this shit scares the fuck out of me, man.
I haven't seen it yet.
This shit scares the fuck out of me. That movie's been out for a while. Spoiler alert. It's about motherfucking DNA specific DNA specific fucking nanobots that fucking kill you, kill people by recognizing their DNA. This is information that I don't think anybody really needs unless I want to give it to them. You know what I'm saying? It's my genetic code. There's nothing more unique to me than my genetic fucking code, right?
Yeah, right. And that's why I've always been kind of weird about even the 23andMe's and all that stuff. That's
why
going
I made
on.
Grandma do it. I wouldn't even do it.
I haven't read the terms of service on that, but I imagine that they own at
all
that point
shit.
In time all of your all of the data that they analyze. They
all
can keep
shit.
It for whatever data purposes and reselling of that information. I'm sure that that's a thing.
Yeah, and all it takes is people with money to get it. Every pharmaceutical company has that data. If China wants it, the thing that makes China so fucked up is that they're communist capitalist amalgam of a fucking country. So they could very well just buy this information if they wanted to. But they're like, why buy? We steal. why buy? We steal. They just steal that shit.
And it's funny because I mentioned 23andMe, and I have to mention that in the article that we're kind of citing through here, 23andMe was mentioned in there, and they specifically made a statement that the fears of China stealing data from 23andMe is incredibly misplaced, and there's less than a 1% investment of Chinese companies or money in 23andMe, but again, it doesn't come down to just because they're not an investor doesn't mean that they can't seek out that information.
That's what I'm saying. There's a memo in somebody's drawer where they bought that shit through legal channels.
But yeah, it's a scary concept. Again, Russia's doing the same thing. Every big nation is. And the same, I never doubt that we are just as bad at trying to gather all this information and win in the information kind of warfare that's out there. So we're probably doing the same. We just don't want China to get it. So, continue to say fuck China in these segments.
I'm going
to
make this statement while we're on there. I don't want the U.S. to get it either. I don't want nobody to have this shit. I don't want the U.S. to have nobody's DNA code either.
But it's definitely the direction everything's heading. Everybody's going to be mapped out eventually. But we can move on to some more tech, and we've got more China. And that's the FCC just passed a vote, I think it was yesterday or the day before, to halt the all Chinese telecom operations within United States.
It was today.
Was it today? No, it was today. Yeah, today's the 26th. Yeah, so yeah, voted today to halt all the telecom Chinese telecom operations. And this goes back to really Trump era beginning, the banning of Huawei and looking at different Chinese telecom companies that were providing internet and IP-based services. This is now just the FCC continuing down that Trump era kind of path to say that, hey, I think they even put in there that this is not a decision that they make lightly, but they find it in the best interest of national security to continue to ban the ability for Chinese owned companies that have direct ties to the Chinese government to continue to provide necessary IP services, internet based services, and telecom services to the United States.
Yeah. like, I was thinking about it today when I was listening to like the news, and it was talking about a lot of like corporate greed and tax evasion and shit like that, and how to stop it. And I really had a thought about like China just don't give a fuck and tells people all the time, if you say something we don't like, we will cut you off from our country entirely. If some coach tweets something, we're just not going to let basketball in our country, period. Like, you know what I'm saying? And we as a nation, you know, we don't use our economic power nearly in any kind of similar way. You know, like if corporations don't want to pay their taxes or abide by our regulations, we just ban you from doing business in our country. Like, we are, you know, the fucking world's greatest economy. Like, you want to do business here. So if you don't do business here in the benefit of America and its citizens, you know, if you cost us our health or whatever, we just ban you from doing business in our country. Like, China will do it over a goddamn tweet. But we have motherfuckers spilling oil in our oceans and doing all kinds of rowdy shit, and we just like, oh, we're just gonna fine you a nominal amount of money that you already budgeted into your yearly budget and that you knew was gonna give up because you're a dastardly, dirty motherfucker, and take all these profits. Like, I don't get it. Like, we can learn. Like, I like when we take these kinds of stances on like companies like China and stuff, but we really need to look domestically and take these same kind of measures.
That is not the direction that I would go, or that I think the country should go. So I definitely, you know, the ban hammer should not just be a threat that the government can rule around to necessarily comply.
It got John Cena speaking Mandarin, motherfucker. It got John Cena speaking Mandarin.
But we are incredibly critical of the Chinese government. Like, I don't know why. Like, you can't pick and choose. You can't pick and choose which authoritarian things you like. Like,
why not? Like, if it benefits the country, I don't even think of this as authoritarian, really. It's protecting its citizens. It's a matter of national defense.
Oh my! We'll have to maybe continue this conversation outside of the podcast, because I've got holes in your logic to poke, and I don't care to do that now. But yeah, in the end, not getting on the tangent about how we should be more like communist nations. In the end,
we're doing it to China right here in this story. We're saying, y'all are so fucked up. You're doing fucked up shit. Doesn't benefit our country. We're gonna ban your business from our nation. We're doing it in the name of you know, self defense and the benefits of American citizens, and banning a Chinese company from operating in our nation. Companies are companies. Where they're from shouldn't really matter. If they're doing the same to us, it shouldn't matter where they're from. We should just be doing the same. We should take this same stance that you're okay with and apply it to any company that is looking to do dastardly shit to America and its citizens.
All right, as promised, we're going to move on from this one here, as I don't think we're going to come to a resolution. So let's talk about an easier topic, which is Russian hacking.
Ban them.
I feel like we're both on the same page here in Russian hacking, and this is just a story coming out saying that Microsoft has made statements that the Russian hacking ring that is known to be a part or to be backed by the actual nation state of Russia itself, Nobelium, they have been seen targeting Microsoft systems, targeting what is like supply chain management type systems, kind of like what SolarWinds was. SolarWinds was also a downstream hack that allowed them to, in the end, infiltrate 9 different government agencies, whatever else, because they got pushed out from a digital supply chain into all these other infrastructures as a trusted node. And then they gained access. And Microsoft said that they are still identifying similar type of attacks from that same group, where they're trying to piggyback into having some kind of direct access into larger systems through piggybacking on supply chain systems. So Microsoft has made this statement. It's gotten around and been asked to, like, the United States government, who definitely didn't deny it, right? Like, didn't come out and say, oh, no, we don't believe it. Like, they're like, no, we've heard those claims. Yep. Yep. they kind of left it at that. So, yeah, more of this kind of posturing. And this kind of follows, you know, some big talk from the current administration about how they're going to approach and have a zero tolerance, and that Russia really needs to curb this this approach. Otherwise, it's going to be deemed, you know, counter to our relations between the two nations. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
It's really fucked up for the amount of focus that was on Putin and how evil Putin was during the last administration. I don't see the current administration doing anything about, you know what I mean? Like, they were so worried about Russia. Russia's the enemy and all this bad shit. And then they get, you know, current administration gets into power and, like, they don't take any kind of stance on it whatsoever. And this shit is just constantly happening left and right. And it's so funny to me because every time we talk about one of these stories, just like, even just now when the whole time you're talking, all I could picture is like some dark room only lit by computer monitors with some 40-year-old Russian dude with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth and just a smoky room. Sergey, more Red Bull. Sergey, more Red Bull. And it just it's almost like out of a movie how, like, much this shit, it just is prevalent. Every week we just have a different hacking story. This SolarWinds we've been talking about for a year.
Yeah, I mean, it was massive in its scope and what it affected. So, you know, I think that we're going to continue here, SolarWinds, because every time there's something like this, you know, an attack that's trying to get into, you know, major systems through affecting a smaller trusted company, like, it's going to immediately be like, hey, SolarWinds, like this is just like SolarWinds, because it's very similar in design, which is how they're tying it back to this group in the first place. So we'll see. In the end,
well, with as much as this is prevalent and talked about, and every week we have a different hacking story, there's still motherfuckers out there with their password as password. You know, like it's like the basic.
If your password's password, you probably don't have anything worth protecting anyway. But it's just the way going forward. Hopefully, you know, we'll have better security protocols somewhere like 20 years from now. And until then, you know, we could all somewhat be victim of this, because even if you do everything right, these companies that you're trusting, hey, they could very easily be affected by one of these attacks. So we'll see where it all shapes out. But let's move out of tech. Let's move into our final little segment here. We got one space story to capture. Actually, two. I'll make quick mention of one that I didn't put on the outline, but I don't know if you remember, we talked about the Crew Dragon from SpaceX having, like, the alarms go off on the last one. Yep. That went off and it ended up being like their toilet. Yep. having issues. They fixed their toilet this week, so that's a big story. So the next group that goes up, I'm still hoping it has, like, Picard in it. and I refuse to call him by his real name. and they're gonna have a working toilet and not scare the shit out of everybody with alarms going off because their toilet's not working properly.
Yeah, lights start blinking in outer space that you didn't see blinking before. You panic, boy. Like, and yeah. to think it was the toilet is just like, you know, it's the least scientific thing that could possibly happen bad on a spaceship.
There's a lot of science that goes into those toilets. You gotta like, there's probably full documentaries about how they figured out how to properly deal with waste in zero gravity situations.
This was covered on Big Bang Theory. Wallowitz designed the toilet. You didn't know that?
I did.
Fucking toilet was made by Wallowitz, bro.
All right. Well, there you go. Very complicated system there. All right. And then our last story is apparently signs of the first planet outside of our galaxy has been identified. So lots of, like, exoplanets and stuff like that have been identified, but they're all been in the Milky Way system. We had the Chandra X-ray telescope was able to identify in the Messier 51 galaxy, which is 28 million light years away. Able to
sounds
identify
far.
A, sounds a far. Planet. Yeah. <It's> able to identify a planet like the size of, like, Saturn. They were able to pick one out. So first time one's been been discovered, or you know, that there's been some kind of scientific consensus that there's an actual planet orbiting out in another galaxy.
Smart people fascinate me, because how do you quantify size from 28 light years away? Like, do you hold a quarter up to it for scale?
This article like talks about ways. This article talks about how they like detected it and stuff like that, and I immediately like just blew past some of it. Like I can't handle a crash course right now on how they detected it through little shadows that passed by other light sources. And
that's what I love about this shit, yeah. Though, is like they figure it out. Like I just, you know, you're looking at something from that far away and you can quantify its size. Like, oh, it's about the size of Saturn. Like, is that just like a guesstimate? Like how do the amount of math that just goes into that just makes me like happy that as humans we can quantify those things. It's amazing to me.
Yeah. But that's it. That's the last story of the week. That's Week in News. As always, thanks for listening. Join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community. Join the group over there. Have some conversations. Go watch Dune in whatever format you can.
Yeah, I concur. Like I said, go to somebody's house that you know has a big screen TV. Wherever you plan on watching the Super Bowl, buddy up with that dude. Be like, hey man, what are you doing tomorrow?
But until next week, nerds, that's all we got.
See ya.